You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good and perfect gift.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Amen. To the second Sunday, amen, of the month of August. This is When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Amen. Today's broadcast is Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk. And we're going to continue our conversation that we had on last month that it was so deep we couldn't finish it all. Amen. We talked about several things called Keeping It Real. This will be part two. I just want to do a quick check and see who's online with me? Any of the brothers online with me yet?
Hey, good evening.
Hey, brother Cleo, how you doing, sir? Good to hear your voice, man.
Well,
so,
good all right. To hear your voice.
Amen. So we can go ahead, brother Cleo, do a couple of housekeeping things, and we can go ahead and get started with what we got, man. I know that some of the brothers sent me a private message they would not be on. But we're going to go on and continue to be obedient to what God has given us to do and go there for it. Amen. I want to remind everybody
Amen.
That his Abounding Grace Ministry with Pastor Williams is every Tuesday at 7 p.m. It may change in a little bit and everything, but right now it's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Declaring the Friendship with Pastor Pat Randall is Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy is every first, second, and fourth Friday at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life is the first and the third Sunday at 7 p.m. Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk. Amen. It's the second Sunday at 7 p.m. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Our monthly broadcast as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones. Amen. Every first Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and the Beautiful with Reverend Nowena Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, and Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McElrain is every third Monday of the month. Marriage Takeover, the Body of One with Pastor Eric and Pastor Tamika Thompson is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon is every Wednesday at 1 p.m. This is a free conference call number. The number is 712-770-5505. The access code is 732-499. If you've not heard this woman of God pray, she has definitely been called for intercessors. Amen. And she prays for all things, even to check her out. Matters of the Heart Singers Ministry, amen, is every third Friday at 7 p.m. And that should be coming up next Friday. Spiritual Nuggets of Truth with Minister Carmen Booker is every second and fourth Monday at 8 p.m. I want to encourage you to go and check out our website, whenchristianspeak.com. Amen. You can find a little bit more about us and about the different hosts and the different platforms that we broadcast on. Amen. So I'm excited about that. Amen. So with that being said, Brother Creeper, we can go ahead and open up in prayer. Okay. Father God, we thank you for today, for truly this is the day that you have made, and we are glad in it, God. We're glad to be able to see a new day, God, a day that we never seen before, a day like no other, God. So we give this broadcast to you and say, Holy Spirit, come and have your way, God. We pray, God, that it will prick the hearts of men and women, that somebody would cry out, what must I do to be saved, or what must I do to change my life around? We need you in this day and season and time like never before, God. We need your grace, your mercy, God. We need your love, God. We need your healing power to go throughout all the world, Lord Jesus. And that men might see light in the midst of darkness, God. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with all your might and all your glory, and you set the atmosphere, God. We thank you in advance, Lord Jesus, for the fact that you was willing to die for us on the cross. We thank you for every nail that was in your hand, for the crown of thorns that was upon your head when they pierced you in your side. When they beat you all night long, you did it for us. more than 2,000 years ago, Lord Jesus. You had us in mind, God. Before the foundation of the earth, while we was yet in our mother's womb, God, you knew everything about us. And we are grateful today for that, Lord Jesus. We are grateful for you have given us a second chance, and many of us a third and a fourth chance, God, because of your grace and your mercy, God. And now we submit ourselves under your authority today, God, and say, Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Cleo, I just want to do a wellness check. How you doing, my brother?
Brother, I am doing fantastic. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. All is well. Amen. All is well. I think last month we talked about a variety of different subjects. We talked about women in the pulpit. Amen. And then I think Brother Elston and you was talking about trusting in the Lord. Do we really trust in the Lord? And how we change. Sometimes we change. We complicate churches or religion, complicate the way of salvation, and it's not that complicated and everything like that. We complicate by we as men or women or pastors or whatever, people in charge, adding stuff on that God never ordained and everything. So I want to continue to keep it real and everything like that. I thought it was a really good, strong broadcast last month. To all of us agreed to do it again. I felt like you didn't have time to finish and everything. I never want you to ever feel like that. You know, we'll make time, especially if God has given you or any of the brothers a word. We have to make time for that, you know, especially in this day and time and season that we live in now. And one of the things I did, and I pulled up the scripture. And I think you or Brother Tony and somebody, I quoted the scripture coming out of Matthew chapter 24, verse 6. And it says, I'm going to start at verse 5, but many, this is Jesus talking. It says, many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. We see these things going on already. You can see these things going on already. Verse 6 says, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled. You know, she did not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So we got wars and rumors of wars and everything. And one of the things that you and Elster talk about is trusting in God no matter what we may be facing, no matter what's going on in the world, and to keep in mind that we as believers are only ambassadors. This is not our home. Amen. This is a temporary residence. Amen. And verse 7 said, for nations shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there should be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And it says, verse 8 says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. All these are the beginning, just the beginning of sorrows. I was talking to a friend of mine that's in the Philippines, and they just a couple of days ago had a major earthquake, you know, did major destruction and everything like that. So these things are happening. Everything that Jesus said was happening is beginning to happen. And understand that all these are the beginning of sorrow. And we need to be able to be in a place where we continue to trust God, continue to believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Don't look to the left, don't look to the right, but believe in Him and trust Him. Don't look up unless He's telling you to look up, or look down, but stay focused on the things and trust Him. You know, and trust Him. Matthew 24, verse 9 says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. That has happened so much in different countries, even in the United States and everything. It's beginning to happen there that people just hate Christians. But I know for a fact that there are Christians in Egypt and other countries that are suffering because they believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They are being killed. And those in China and Russia are being persecuted because of their belief in Jesus Christ, man. You know, so this is a time of and this is a time for us to wake up and see that there's a hand that is writing on the wall because Jesus is soon to come. Now, I'm going to give you a chance to go ahead and talk, man, and I'm going to look at a couple other notes. Go ahead, bro.
No, you're spot on.
Yeah.
I mean, just this morning I heard something that even about here in the United States, that we're on the verge of civil war here. Okay?
Right.
You know, and all of these things are prophetic or prophetic things that in Scripture. We got to take heed to it. The Bible tells us to be sober and to be watchful and to be in prayer. And I think as believers, you know, we have to trust the Word. We have to believe what the Word says. You know, in Isaiah, it says, whom has believed our report? You know, and is God's hand short or slack? Not long enough to stretch out to you and I. And so I just got to go with the Word. You know, Paul said this in Romans, in the book of Romans, the first chapter of Romans, verse number 25. He said, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever? So people are going to say things. The world is going to say things. And the problem, the issue becomes when I as a believer become more acquainted with the world system and how the world functions and operates opposed to the kingdom system, kingdom of God system. Two systems functioning at the same time and diametrically opposed to one another. You know, they both want to kill you. But what do you mean by that? Well, Satan wants to kill you, and God wants to kill you as well. But God's killing you is he wants you to deny yourself. And so, you know, I'm learning even more and more every day, Brother Ray, that man, I just got to submit to the will of God, submit to what I understand, and more importantly, I got to make sure that I'm in His Word. Every day, yeah. You know, under what it says in the book of Joshua about that very being in the Word on a daily basis. I believe it's Joshua 1:8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. And then shalt thou have good success. And, you know, the good success is in the Word of God. And so I have to lean on the Word of God. I have to trust in the Word of God. And I have to know that all these things that's coming about in the world today are preordained, are foretold in the Word. What Jesus is saying here in Matthew 20. And you know, I can't get you know, move to the left or move to the right. I gotta stay on the path that I'm seeking after Jesus, because to the left and to the right will get me off course, and now all these things that are in the news and in the media and everything that you read and everything that you see is telling you about doom and destruction. And I can't get caught up in that. I got to go with the words, you know, and I can hear very clearly God in Genesis chapter 3 after the fall of man, after they had eaten up the tree of knowledge and life. I can hear very clearly when God called out to Adam, "Where are you?" And he said, "I hid myself because I was naked." And God said, "Who told you was naked?" And so that's where we are as a society, as believers. Where are we getting our information from? Who told you that? You either got it from the world system or you're getting your information from the Word of God. I choose to get my information from the Word of God because it's very clear. He says if one jot or tittle of my word failed, he would have to cease being God. I know he's still on it. And I know he didn't cease from being God, so I'm going to go with the Word. I can't go with what they say, what the world is saying. I'm going to go with what the Word says. I'm going to take that from Romans, even chapter 12. And what he says, chapter verse 2, he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed But what am I being transformed to? I'm being transformed to the mind of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I'm being transformed to the will of God for my life, for the life of my family. And so I choose to be, to trust in the Lord with all my heart, being not to my own self, but in all my ways, acknowledge him. Amen.
Amen. Looks like Brother Tyrone, are you with us? If you are,
yes.
Amen. Bless God, sir. I'm glad to have you with us. Amen. Brother Tyrone, what we're doing, we have been talking about last month. We talked about several things. We talked about women in ministry and women in pastors. We sort of stirred up the harness nest, so to speak. You know, about
you can blame me for that.
No, nobody's at fault. Amen. There's things that need to be talked about, especially with us growing up as a mother, as a pastor, and being in the church majority of our life. We also talked about Brother Esther was talking about do we really truly trust God? Okay, that was one of the subjects, and also Brother Cleopas was talking about that too. And it seems like all of us is in agreement that we have complicated the gospel of Jesus Christ and everything. And the scripture I'm reading from right now is coming out of Matthew chapter 24. And I was letting them know about the different things that Jesus said that would come fast. And this is the beginning of sorrow. You know, this is the beginning of sorrow. When they see these things happen, then the end is not yet, but it's just the beginning of sorrows. And they will definitely live in a time that we just got to trust God. We got to believe in him for his word and everything. So that's where we're at. I don't know whether you have anything you want to add, or did you want us to go further and then you come back. I mean, the choice is up to you. But I'm glad to see to hear your voice today, man.
Likewise.
Yeah.
Good evening.
Yeah.
Good evening, Brother Tyrone.
Good evening. God bless everyone. It's good to be here again. It's good to hear everybody's voices. I think what you are talking about from what you just stated, it's pretty good things to be talking about, especially trusting in the Lord and knowing that you trust in him. And it goes both ways. You're trusting in God, but God is also trusting and believing that you're going to do what he said he can do and will do. And so I think that plays a major role if we trust him enough to know that he's able to trust us to do it. The other thing you're talking about as far as the women preaching, women in ministry, and that's a strong thing in the gospel today, you know. That's actually quite a few women preachers throughout the Bible, a couple of them that I know of. And, you know, following the woman preaching is, as far as I'm concerned, it's just the anointing of God that's upon her to do what God would have her to do. So whether she be a woman, a pastor, a woman of the Lord, I'll follow her. I mean, I'll listen to her. I'll receive her. I know there's other scriptures in the Bible that might want to have the woman to be silent or not to say much, but if the word, if the anointing is upon her and the word is being preached to her, you're going to receive somebody, might as well receive her if it's coming to a woman. Another thing you mentioned, all of the topics that you're talking about is good, so I just want to pretty much listen in and see what's going on, and maybe we'll come back later on to say something else. Okay?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Tyrone. So I want to continue with Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to go on verse 10 because I think this is important with the conversation that we're talking about now. And it says, Matthew 24, verse 10, it says, "And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another." So there's things that, those three words right there, brothers, offended, betray, and hate.
Yep.
We are seeing that like never ever before. Offended, betray, and hate. You know, hate
you know,
because
shame.
You don't believe.
Huh? I was just going to say that the shame of it is it's not just in the world. It's in the body of Christ.
In the church. Right, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the body of Christ. Offended, betrayed, and hate. You hate me because of the color of my skin. You hate me because I don't follow the Bible like you do. You hate me because you baptized in water and everything, and you believe in baptism holy. I mean, just crazy that division, like you said on last time, that division that takes place in the body of Christ was nowhere in the beginning of the church. This is something that man added. Or do you hate me because I believe in women can be pastors or preachers and stuff like that. And you not only hate me, you condemn me and tell me that I'm going to hell because I don't believe it. You hate me and condemn me because I don't agree with you. So they were offended, betrayed, and hate one another. And verse 11 says, and many false prophets arise and should deceive many. Go ahead, brother.
No, go ahead.
No, okay. Okay, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive men, and we see that. We see that with the people that preach prosperity message. I have nothing. Don't get me wrong. I have nothing about against prosperity, but prosperity is not going to get me into heaven. Prosperity is not going to get me into heaven. You know, I don't have nothing against that. I think that we should be wise, and we should have the wisdom as how we, the God things that God has given us, how we operate. But it's not just about money, you know what I mean? It's not just about money and everything, but it's about our lives. It's about the way I walk with Christ and everything like that. The scripture said that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That includes everything. And then we are enclosed with the Holy Spirit, so we have to be careful how we treat the temple. What our eye gate, our ear gate, our mind gate, all those things need to be guarded. All those things need to be guarded. Amen.
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 Amen. I'm going to read one more, and then we can talk a little bit, okay? And it says, and many false prophets arise and shall deceive many. Again, I want to go back to that again, because there's a lot of people, especially on social media, that's crying, saying, Lord, Lord, and all that. And again, I'm not judging anybody, anything, but their life don't measure up to what they say, okay? And the scripture says, and you guys, brother, can help me, they said they try the spirit by the spirit. It's spirit to spirit, you know? That's what, see if it be of
Amen.
God. And see if it be of man. It's a many false prophets arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity abound, and a love of many shall wax cold. It goes back to the word of hate. So where's the love? Where's the love for my neighbor, my brothers, my sister? Where's the love that Jesus talked about, that we should love one another? Where's the love? Where's it at?
Yeah. As you were reading, Brother Ray, especially in verse number 10, boy, named and read it, offend, betray, and hate one another, you know, immediately what came to mind was 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. He is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Man, that's a powerful statement. But, you know, it's true. It's the word. You know, how you going to say you love a God that you've never seen, but you got your brother in front of you, and you hate him because he just doesn't believe exactly the way you believe, or he just doesn't perceive exactly the way you perceive, or he doesn't look the way you look. You know, I mean, come on, man. But that's powerful.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry. It doesn't make any sense, man. You know, and not just what we look at each other as brother love as Christians, but even non-believers, you know.
Yes.
And I'm going to say something that's going to, again, I'm going to stir up the hornet's nest again, Brother Cleophas. Because I talked about this on Friday.
Right here.
I talked about the favor or the love of God and everything, the unfiltered love of God. Okay, and I came to the scripture on Friday, that God so loved the world. He wasn't differentiating who he loved. He said he so loved the world. That was all inclusive, okay? That was all-inclusive. Now, he might not like the sin, because God hates sin. Okay, and I brought this up, and I know I'm already got some messages already. Even for those that people that practicing being gay, okay, God doesn't hate them; He hates what they does. He wants them to come into relationship with Christ, Jesus Christ, and everything.
Yep.
So God loves them, but He still this even more so that God loves somebody to commit adultery. He still the word said it's not His will that any man should perish. He hates the sin. He hates the sin. And I think that sometimes we differentiate, oh, God hate those people that are homosexual and everything, and we personalize it to the person, but that's not what the scripture says. God so loved the one He gave His only begotten Son. The whosoever believeth in Jesus Christ shall not perish. He hates the sin, but He hates all sin. They're over sex. Huh?
Amen.
What is that? Okay, there are over 600 some ordinances of do's and don'ts, and the truth of the matter, Jesus had to come because He knew that we couldn't obey all of those ordinances. He knew. He knew that we couldn't obey all that. Grace and mercy had to come into a play and do His thing. You know, grace and mercy. We couldn't get through the 10.
Something that you were just saying about God so loving the world and you know, saying that, you know, how can God love this person because they are involved in sexuality, or how can He love this lady who's involved in prostitution? Well, sin is sin.
Sin is sin.
There's no big sin. There's no little sin. Sin is sin, and all sin is sin to God. So, but God hates the sin. He doesn't hate the person, because if he hated us as individuals, then guess what? He would not have done. He would not have sent His only begotten Son that we could be saved. He wouldn't have done that if he hated the individuals. He hates sin. So He sent His only begotten Son that we may be saved from the sin that we in. And one scripture in Romans where it talks about, but God commended His love, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And I'm reading out of the King James Version. It says, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. So it didn't matter what we were doing. God loved us so much that even in our sinful state and nature, He still sent His Son to the cross to die for us and to raise Him up from the dead so that we might have a Savior, because He knew. He knew. So when you think about it from that standpoint, and you say God loves us, God loves you. Well, He loved you so much, dear heart, that even when you were in your drunken state, even when you were in your promiscuous state, even when you were in your vile state, He still sent His Son to die on that cross to be raised again so you might have an opportunity to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
You show me or tell me who else can love somebody
like that.
look at what Jesus had to endure, even going to the cross. Look at all the pain, the suffering, the shame, the humiliation, all that He had to endure. And if you can't see the love of God in that, spit on. Ostracized,
right.
Beaten with a cat of nine tails, flesh being pulled from His body, nailed to the cross, pierced in His side. All of this He endured for us.
For us.
That we might have life, that we might have this life more abundantly. And that abundantly is not just talking about from a financial position. That abundantly is talking about an abundant life. You know, health, is prosperity, to be in good health. You prosper in your health. That's what you said in 1 John. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And my soul is my mind. I want to grow up in my mind. I want to be renewed in my mind. I want to be transformed in my mind in the likeness of his dear son.
In the likeness. Amen. Brother Tyrone?
Amen.
You good?
Amen. Just listening and exactly what was saying. You know, God loved us. Jesus, he died on the cross for our, the main thing that was going to destroy us anyway was our sin. But he died to forgive us, to take on the sins of the world. He loved us just that much. That's the impressive part about it, when he didn't have to do it. He didn't even have to die, but he loved us. And you could never find another love to match that love that Christ had for us, to die for the wrong that we know that we've done. It's nobody's fault that we've done the wrong that we've done. We did it because we wanted to do it. But he loved us because we've done that wrong. He could have just said, well, you know, you and sin, God don't like sin. All unrighteousness is sin. The soul that sinners must die. You know, you're destined to die. But because he loved us. Where are you going to find that kind of love in this day and time? Is there anybody that's willing and able or that will lay down their life for you? Yes, you say you love me. I say I love you. But when it comes down to what Jesus did, can you really see yourself doing that? That's love. And for what? For the sin that you've done. Because that was pretty heavy there. I appreciate hearing it from you. But, you know, that's a deep love for a bad thing we've done. He gave his life so that we can live. It's magic. We Bible said we were born in sin and shaven in iniquity, so we were destined to die in sin because of sin. But Christ loved us. So now today we're alive. That's pretty good. I mean, I'm not going to get too much into it, but that just stuck to me when he spoke on it, so that's pretty good.
Amen. I want to
how much Christ loved us.
Amen. Actually, I want to let me do this. All right, because I'm reading from different places. Also, with Brother Todd, when you was talking about that, amen, I thought about the scripture, who should separate us from the love of Christ? You know,
yes,
who?
Indeed.
Who should separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Through him that loved us. Through Jesus that loved us. For I am persuaded.
Yes, sir.
That neither
Come
death,
on now.
nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, but get this, nor things to come. That means those things that may be coming down the pike.
Amen.
No seen and unseen dangers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, I don't care what they are, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It doesn't work, man. Nothing. That's an awesome place. And for me, Brad Creofus, when you were talking, man, I was thinking about myself, and I was thinking about how much of flesh and dirt there was in my life, the things that I did that I regret and everything. Like all of us, if we be honest with ourselves, did some stuff that we shouldn't have did. But wait a minute, God, you can love me in spite of all of that, you know? You can love me in spite of that. All of that, you can love me no matter how many times I made bad decisions or it was in bad relationship that I shouldn't have been in from the get-go. Because you told me to go left, and I went right instead. You love me still? you love me like that? That's amazing. That just blows me away. Because, listen, I don't even think that we can even comprehend or imagine the greatness of the love that Jesus Christ has for us. The greatness of the love that God has for us. I don't think we can even, our little small brain can't calculate like that. We can't calculate that about that love that God has for us. The love that God has for us. Amen.
There's a level of capacity that won't, that in our natural being won't allow us to think that way. And then, you know, there's a part that Satan plays in that role as well, because I don't care how spiritual you are, I don't care how, you know, super saved, and there's no such thing, but I don't care how super saved you think you are, but the scripture is clear. Satan, our adversary, as a roaring lion, is constantly going about seeking whom he can destroy. And it's those unsupervised areas in our lives that he comes after. You know, those things that in some cases you thought was buried, dead and buried in your life, and all of a sudden it's coming up. Well, how did that thing come back up in your life? Well, it came back up because Satan brought it back up in your life. Because that's the only thing he can use against you is fear and lies. Fear and lies. Lies and fear. And I was listening to you just then, Brother Ray, you know, and you were articulating so well. And in saying Romans chapter 8, because that's where you were, at the very first chapter. And see, I think this is where we get messed up sometimes, is we go back and we start thinking about all the things that we've done. You know, right. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. But now Satan brings back up all these things that I've done in my past, you know. And verse 1 says, is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And therein lies the key.
Now
we have to die to ourselves. We have to die to ourselves. You know, and we talked about I talked about this once before is those three ways to do that is make Jesus Lord, deny yourself, and be led by the Spirit. And that's a everyday decision to make Jesus Lord. That's an everyday decision to deny yourself, to deny your flesh, to deny that desire that's coming up in you. That's an everyday decision for somebody that was an alcoholic. Guess what? If they was an alcoholic for an extended period of time, even though they've been set free from alcoholism, every day they have to make a decision not to drink. If they were drugs, every day you got to make a decision not to do drugs. If it was pornography, every day you got to make a decision not to do it, because Satan doesn't stop bringing those things up before you. But you can't live in the past. You can't beat yourself up. You can't make – God has forgiven you, dear heart. God has forgiven you. And if he's forgiven you, the scripture says it's as far as the east is from the west. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the flesh. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now.
Now. I like that word. Now.
And now is a present tense word, like right now. Like
right now.
In this very moment, right now. I don't have to be in any kind of condemnation. Right now.
Right now. Now.
Yes, sir.
Right now. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's awesome. I want to go back. I want to go back to Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. I'm going to put something out there too after I read the scripture. But this is Jesus talking about, he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. All that was going on, everything that's going on, we have to endure to the end, that same shall be saved. I want to make sure I put that scripture. Another thing I want to talk about.
Yes, sir.
What I was talking about, and I'm not condemning anybody for your lifestyle choices or whatever and stuff like that. But we, as the body of Christ, is still abstaining on people that have a life, a lifestyle choice. That's what it is. It's a choice. All right. We need to love them to Christ. We need to become like salt, light, and power so they may see a more excellent way, which is in Jesus Christ. Let me show you a better way, which is in Jesus Christ. Now, there's some that will receive that because I've talked to and interviewed some people over the years of people that had a lifestyle choice. But God came in and changed that lifestyle choice. He can do that kind of stuff. There are people that have written books on how they was a certain way and God completely changed them and they became a testimony of what God can do. And that's just not for the lifestyle choice. That includes, that's all inclusive. That's being promiscuous. That's being that lying. That all things that are considered to be sin. All those things are lifestyles that people decide to do. If you have a lying spirit, it's a lifestyle of lying in. Of adulteress, it's a lifestyle of adulteress and everything like that. A lifestyle of fornication. I was talking to someone, one young lady, and I was telling her about generational curses that need to be broken. Mm-hmm. Generational curses that need to be broken. Because my father was an alcoholic, and his don't mean I have to be an alcoholic. I can change. We can change because of the blood of Jesus Christ. In fact, we are changed. We are no longer the same. We are new creatures made in his image and everything. Old things have passed away, you know. But, again, these are the times and the season, okay? And then verse 14, I'm going to let somebody else speak. It says, Matthew 24:14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Well, guess what? This is how we're doing it. I've never been to China, but China is getting the gospel of Jesus Christ through the radio broadcast.
Amen.
I've never been, none of us have never been to Russia, but they're getting the word of Jesus Christ in Afghanistan, in Iran, and everything. We are the people that are listening just this broadcast is in over 140 different countries, just this broadcast alone. What about those that are actually boots on the ground that are spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ? Other broadcasts that are doing the same thing, they have the same mandate. You know, the word is getting out. The gospel of the kingdom should be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. And then should the end come. Then should the end. We don't know. I don't want to know. It's God. Jesus said, "I don't know. Only the Father knows that." Only the Father knows
Amen.
That. Our task is to not be weary and well do. I don't care if you're doing a Zoom call or you're doing church online, and I'm talking for those that do social media. If you're doing it, continue to do it. Don't give up on that. I don't care if you want to get one listener and everything like that. Continue to do it. It's not a...
Well?
Yeah, you still there?
Continue to do it.
I think we lost.
You know?
No, he's back.
Oh, okay.
We lost you for a moment there.
Oh, you did? All that talking?
Yeah. It was for about, we lost you for about 10 seconds.
Yeah, about 10 seconds.
Yeah, my bag. I said it. I don't even remember what I said. I guess it was for me.
It was good. It was good.
Yeah.
I guess it was more for me or anybody else. Amen. For those 10 seconds.
It was good.
You know, but that's all, bro. I just think that we need to be encouraged and we need to sharpen each other's iron, you know, and everything. And especially those that are pastors, man. You know, pastors are under attack. You know, they are. They're under attack, man. You know, whether it's membership or whether it's about how to get the word out, whether it's finances, whatever the case, we need to intercede on their behalf. I don't care whether they got a big church, small church, or no church. We need to be in the time and see that we're interceding on behalf, you know, because their task is to watch for our souls, you know, to look over us
Amen.
And stuff like that and to keep us grounded. And everything, you know, our task is to have a teachable spirit, you know, to be teachable and everything. So I'm going to be quiet because I'm talking a lot. I don't want to go out again. I'm on my laptop today, so I don't know what happened. I'll blame it on the laptop.
That's all right. There was something in that word that Satan didn't want to get out, but it got out.
It got out.
It got out. Yes, sir.
Yeah, it got out.
It was good. Another thing that I was reading today in that Matthew chapter, I think it was Matthew's that 10th chapter, I believe, where Jesus had spoke. He said he chose his 12 disciples, and the thing that he did, he sent them out. And he told them he was sending them out. And the thing was, he wanted them to, Jesus can't be with us always in the flesh, but he taught his disciples, he taught us the way to spread this gospel for the kingdom of heaven. And so he sent them out and he told them what to do. And so there was different things in there he told them to do about healing the sick, helping, feeding, going out and just being a witness to everybody. He mainly put emphasis on the household of faith, the lost sheep of Israel. They one time knew the Lord, but they perhaps had fallen away. So he sent them. He said, "Don't go to them that are in Samaritan. Don't go to them that where you don't need to be around them that don't love you. But go to them that needs to hear this truth. As he, when you go to them, this is what I want you to do. I want you to heal. I want you to bless. I want you to be. You go into their house, bless the house, whatever. But the one thing that he wanted us to do was to follow instructions. And so when you said, you know, we're going out there, the race is not given to the swift, nor the battle is given to the strong, but to him that endure. We got to endure by following the instructions of what the Lord will have us to do, and not push people away, but bring people in. Not to hurt them, but to help them. Not to pull them down, but to pick them up. And not to look down upon them, but to help them get up. And so that's in line with what you were saying about enduring until the end, about helping. So that's our objective, as well as pray for one another. Strength, the Bible said, when we are strong, do what? Strengthen our brother. So we have to be encouragement to each and every one of us, as well as be encouraged to that soul that may not know the Lord, but to win him to the Lord, and to that backslider that might have fallen away from the grace, fallen away from the flock, but we got to win him back, not with hatred, but with love and kindness. And so all of that is in care of the work that we have to do in this day and time, because what's happening now is that is not what's happening. The men and women of God are not doing what we've been instructed to do according to the word of God, but we're doing just the opposite. And so that's what we need to come back around. And that's, you know, since you were talking about that particular passage of scripture you read in Matthew 24, that just brought memories of what I preached on today. And it just all working together, because I feel as though that, you know, what this platform that we're on, that the stage that you're on right now, this is another avenue that we have to really reach somebody that perhaps one time was there but have not got the way they want to be, but perhaps they've fallen away, but now they can get back, because we're teaching, we're preaching, we're reaching, we're getting. We're living in a time to where if we don't follow instruction and get back to where we should be, we're going to lose a lot more than the people that's around us. So we got to be strong for one another, encourage one another. Don't get me to talking and thinking, because I'll go a long way with this. But, you know, it's all good. It's all good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Tyron. Appreciate that, man. That was an awesome piece that you're speaking on and everything. And that is such so needed and stuff like that. We only got about 10 minutes left. Brother Cleophas, I'm going to probably ask you to pray us out. And everything. I do want to read a couple more of Matthew chapter 24. Amen. Let me just go back. I think I came one more of them.
Yeah, you stopped at verse 14.
Verse 14? Okay.
Yep. You read verse 14.
Okay, give me a second. I think it was Matthew chapter 24. I read verse 14, right?
Yeah.
All right. So I do want to read this right here. This is coming on verse 15, and I'll stop whatever. But see, we know the things, we as believers that have studied the Word of God, we know the things to look for. And Brother Tyrone, you're right. God has given us instructions, you know, but he's also given us eyesight and ear gates and all those kinds of things to pay attention, you know, not to get caught up in the drama of this world and stuff like that, but to pay attention of the sign, to pay attention of the hand that's writing on the wall. He said, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, and say, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Okay, then let him that which is in Judea, did I go out again? Flee into the mountains.
And no, you
him, which is on the mountain housetop, not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. He said, woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in the days. And that's going on there. Woe unto them now. You know, it says, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. He said, for this shall be great tribulation, since it was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, not ever shall be. And except those days, listen to what I'm saying, except those days shall be shortened, and there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall come say unto you, lo, here is Christ, and there believe it not. Amen. Am I still with you? Amen.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes,
for there shall
rise,
for there shall rise false Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. And so much, if it was possible, here it is again, they shall deceive the very elect. Where possible, you know, if it was possible, they should deceive the very elect. So we're definitely living in a time and a season that we have to pay attention. We got to trust God. But we got our eyes open. I like the scriptures I can't think of the guy's name, when he was picking the men to go to battle and everything like that. There were some that licked the water up like a dog, and there were some that put their whole head in the water. Who was that?
Oh, Gideon.
Gideon,
yeah.
You know, we're in that time and now that we got to be eyes wide open. Our eyes have to be wide open to everything that's going on around us. But we still got our hand on our sword, which is the word of God. But we're watchful. Did you say watch as well as pray? Watch as well as pray. And that's where we're at. Amen. So, Brother Tyrone, I'm going to give you the last words, and then we're going to turn the record over to Brother Cleophas, and he's going to dismiss us. Brother Cleophas, I am going to ask you to say a special prayer for all the pastors or apostles or bishops when we close out. All right. So, Brother Tyrone, any last words, sir?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's pretty basic what we already mentioned. It's just good to understand, you know, the Bible teaches us if we're going to get a good understanding of what we're talking about, and I thank God for the understanding that we have received tonight of where we're going. I think, you know, if we continue to display what God has given us as far as the love for one another and helping one another, encouraging one another, and moving forward, I think a lot more souls will come to the Lord. And that's our whole objective. It's not for us, but it's for other people. It's for we to win souls to the Lord. And so that's what I'm looking forward to doing more now than ever, is winning more souls to the Lord by being an example, doing what God will have us to do, following his instructions, and as well as listening and seeing. Is God, just like Gideon, he watched, and the ones that God used to go into battle, it broke it down from, I think it was 3,000 to 300, praise God, and they went in and they won the battle because Gideon, he followed the instructions of the leading of the Lord, and he watched while his men was watching and praying, and preparing for battle. So, you know, I think it was all good today. God bless you guys. Just keep us in your prayers.
Amen.
Amen.
Right to you.
I think that yes, tonight has been so encouraging to myself. Man, what an awesome teaching, what an awesome word. And as Brother Ray has stated throughout this reading in Matthew, and Brother Tyrone as well, you know, we got to be sober, we got to be vigilant, we got to be watchful, we got to be in prayer for one another, for our leadership in our country. I challenge anyone that's on this call to read Romans chapter 12, 13, and 14. And take your time and read. It'll open your eyes up, because Romans chapter 12 it starts you out with, you know, being transformed from the world to be transformed in your mind, and then it goes into, you know, what some do's and don'ts, and then after that it goes into verse 13, and verse 13 tells you about authority, that authority is ordained by God, and if you're going against the government or the president or, you know, whatever, then you're resisting God's authority, because God ordained this. Verse 14 talks about not being a stumbling block to your brother, your sister, to be a stumbling block to them, you know, because you're free and you can eat whatever you want to eat. You know, you might be an offense or a stumbling block. It was talking about food, but it's talking about a bunch of other things. So in your time, read chapter Romans 12, 12, 13, very powerful words. And I'm so full. I'm full from you know, what Brother Ray has talked about this evening, Brother Tyrone has talked about, and even in my own study. But I do really think that time that we come together as one, as the scripture has commanded us to come together as one, we don't want to cool. Stop all this backbiting and this fighting amongst one another, hating on one another, you know, competing with one another. And it's about just what Pastor Rose just said. It's about winning souls to the Lordship of Christ. Increase in heaven and depopulate. Heavenly Father, on this evening, we thank you, Father. Come to you, Father. Humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. We surrender all unto you. We cast our cares upon you, Father, for we know that you love us. And Father, we thank you, Father, for your word says that you would never leave us nor forsake us, that you would be with us always, even until the end of time. And our prayer this evening, Father, is that all of the listeners, Father, and all of the speakers on this evening, Father, would take to heart what's been said and what's been spoken about this evening. And Father, we thank you for your very love for all of us, Father. We thank you that you sent your precious son, Jesus, the Christ, died on our behalf. And not that he died, Father, but that he rose again with all power in his hand. And we thank you, Father, that he forever sits at your right hand, ever interceding on our behalf. Father, we thank you on this evening for every pastor, every lead pastor, every assistant pastor, every lay pastor, every lay member, Father. We thank you for ministers, deacons, all over this land, Father. Father, we thank you, Father, that your hand is upon them, Father. We cover them now in the matchless name of Jesus. We thank you for them, Father. We thank you that there's no stress, strain, or struggle in their lives, Father. We thank you that their lives is a prayer life, Father, that gets before you every day, Father, seeking your wisdom, seeking your guidance, Father, for your word tells us to seek you, Father, in all that we do. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, Father. So, Father, we ask now, Father, that you would touch them, Father. Meet them right where they are, Father. There's some that are struggling in their lives, in their ministries, Father. And you call them to ministry, Father. Satan, we rebuke you now. We come against every evil and demonic attack that you have set up against us, and we render it powerless, null and void, and we curse it right to the root for which it came. And Father, we thank you for your word, for our provision. We thank you that the entrance of your word, that it gives light and life unto the simple, Father. Father, your word said in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore give wisdom. But with all thy getting, get understanding, Father. So Father, we thank you for fresh revelation, knowledge, and understanding in your word, Father, that we may be able to go out and do the things that you call us to do, Father, and be able to say the things that you call us to say, Father, and be able to minister to the folks that you call us to minister to all over this world, Father, whether we be here in the United States or in China or in Russia or in Afghanistan or Iran or Ukraine, Father, wherever we may be throughout this whole nation, Father, throughout this whole world, Father, that we may be able to go and win souls for the Lordship of Christ. Father, we thank you that you go before us, that you've sent angels before us to clear our way, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for our families, Father. Thank you that our families are whole and healthy from the crown of their heads to the sole of their feet, Father. And, Lord, we just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory, and we give you all the honor, Father. We thank you, Father, for the ones that have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives on today, Father. And, Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you for the backslider, Father, that has returned unto you, Father. Father, we thank you that you're married to the backslider, Father. We thank you for those that are in condemnation, Father. We curse that condemnation right now. We declare and decree in the authority of the name of Jesus that they are free, that they are free to serve you uninhibited, Father, that they're free to go after your word like never before, Father. And, Lord, we just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory, and we give you all the honor, and we thank you in the name that is above every name, name Lord Jesus Christ, whom we love and whom we serve. Thank God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for listening to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This has been Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk. Amen. And this has been Real Part 3. I thank my brothers Tyrone and Brother Cleosis for joining us today. Look forward to talking with you guys next month. Be blessed. Be blessed. And be blessed. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless. You all take care.
God bless you all.
You too.